Our forecast for today, partly cloudy and very windy with temperatures only in the 30s. The search for Lynn Rickard is back on this morning in Racine County in the Kansasville area by members of the Sheriff's Department and the Kansasville Fire Department, Rickard disappearing back in June of this year. Extensive searches of the area have thus far produced nothing, but Sheriff Christopher Schmeling says his department will continue efforts to bring closure to the family of Lynn Rickard. Couple of early morning barn fires within hours of each other, keeping several Racine County fire departments busy, as well as the fire bells. The first reported by a passerby just after midnight in the 5800 block of West 7 Mile Road in the town of Raymond. The second coming in just before 2 o'clock this morning in the 26,000 block of Dover Line Road in Wind Lake. Causes of both fires still under investigation, the fire bells providing refreshments and other help to the responders at both locations. Kenosha aldermen approve a resolution that directs the police chief to do a safety assessment of the public areas of the municipal building. Alderman Scott Gordon, who sponsored the resolution, noted the last time this was done, back in 2001.
We're just asking our chief of police to designate his team to take a look and see simple fixes, bigger fixes, to make this building a safer place for everyone. End of story.
Alderman David Paff said he saw no harm in doing the review.
One of the very people listed in this resolution would be department heads, of which the police chief himself is sitting here tonight. If you look at the council, the department heads as potentially being a target, he himself is one.
The resolution was amended to require the report that's due in April be delivered to city administration, not the council, that to keep any plans for security changes out of the public eye. Kenosha County Judge David Bastianelli sentences Jordan Winters to 3 months in jail, then 3 years of probation for his role in a fatal traffic crash in March of 2015 that occurred at 39th Avenue and 68th Street. Family members of the victim, 34-year-old Sean Delancey, asking for the maximum 5 years in prison. The 21-year-old Winters, given credit for over a year spent in the county jail awaiting disposition, also another year on house arrest. Should Winters get into trouble on probation, though, he could be going to prison. A Racine woman, 28-year-old Jasmine Phillips, to spend 2 years in prison and 5 years of extended supervision. She fired a gun into a car driven by her ex-boyfriend. She pleaded guilty to the charges, the incident occurring in the 1200 block of Racine Street back in March. Washington, D.C., the destination of a couple of busloads of Southeast Wisconsinites. They're leaving today for rallies to build support for the immediate passage of legislation that would protect the children of illegal immigrants under the DACA program. During a press briefing at Gateway Technical College in Kenosha, Christy Newman Ortiz of Voces de la Frontera said she believes Congress ought to pass that legislation this week as part of the spending bill. Ilse Merlin from Racine said her DACA protections let her drive legally, hold a job for an after-school program coordinator's position at her church.
If DACA would be repealed, it would be taking my status, giving me a risk of having no income because I would lose my job, and drive legally, causing me to hide. I would become a worker at a factory or be paid very low wages, something that is currently a reality for my mother.
She's now 23 and came to this country at the age of 5, already has one college degree, is hoping to go on and eventually become a third grade teacher. Racine's Common Council with a status update on the planning process for the proposed Event Center Hotel on the lakefront. Development Director Amy Conley saying one of the benchmarks, a private developer, to build a hotel. Well, it's believed the team behind Madison's Edgewater Boutique Hotel might fit the bill. Alderman Jeff Coe suggested Racine would again lose out if the Event Center planning is stopped, suggested bypassing Real Racine to plug hotel room tax money into the financing equation, said their vote against it aside.
I believe we do not need permission from Real Racine to use these tax dollars. We should use any new room tax from new hotels in the city for future endeavors. I believe we need to continue our due diligence until January as planned. In the not-too-distant future, I will suggest a committee of the whole to capture future room tax dollars for city use. Don't worry, if this is voted down, we will make front-page news again. Some other community will be building an event center.
And Alderman Terry McCarthy said, I view that Racine with Foxconn coming needs to be the residential community of choice.
That residential community of choice moniker, to me, will require amenities. Amenities might be bike paths, lakefront, they might be something else. They might be the event center slash arena as well, too. I don't know the answer to that for sure, but I do ask that we all consider, in my opinion, we need to be the place where People who want to live in an urban setting as a result of Foxconn come here and don't go anywhere else. Amenities are required for that. This may be one of those amenities.
Tonight at the start of the 7 o'clock council meeting, right after public comment, it's the veto override procedure on the event center funding. And one obituary to tell you about, William Payton of Racine at the age of 58 passed away at his residence on November 30th. Funeral services to take place at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home Wednesday at 6 p.m. Friends and relatives can meet with the family there at the funeral home starting at 4 p.m. Forecast today, it's going to be partly cloudy and very windy with temperatures holding around the mid-30s. Our forecast details are on the way. The Racine County Sheriff's Department's reporting the arrest of a 39-year-old driver on a 6th OWI offense from a Monday afternoon pursuit that began with a citizen complaint near 7 Mile in the East Frontage Roads and ended up in an Oak Creek parking lot. The citizen observed the car strike some road signs, but the vehicle kept going. The deputy tried a traffic stop, that car just sped up, and then continued in what a release indicates was a very erratic manner at times, including on the wrong side of the road. Pursuit reaching almost 90 miles per hour. The car, going into a furniture store parking lot, was found abandoned. Oak Creek police then discovered the driver nearby. The Caledonia man accused of crashing his pickup truck into the back of a car, killing a 39-year-old man and his 9-year-old daughter over a year ago, pleading no contest to two counts of homicide by the intoxicated use of a vehicle. 26-year-old Levi Rahonen will be sentenced in February. The crash occurring around 4 Mile and Short Roads, just a few feet from the victim's homes. Killed in the crash, Kevin Daly and his daughter, Emily. The death of a Racine County jail inmate November the 26th, still under investigation, the Sheriff's Department issuing a news release to say that Barbara Beecham had shown no signs of any health issues, failed to respond to life-saving measures by jail staffers after being found unresponsive. The 59-year-old Beecham in the jail on drug charges. The release indicates she was observed interacting with the staff, walking around in the day room less than 40 minutes before help was requested. Her family is telling the Journal Times that they have questions, though, about what exactly happened. It's a raise order. It's been authorized by the Caledonia Village Board in reference to the former Western Publishing Company building at 5945 Erie Street. The neighbors there have complained about it for quite some time. Village Administrator Tom Christensen telling WRJN News it's an effort to, in his words, stimulate the process.
This is our effort to do that. We recognize that this is not something that's going to be accomplished overnight. There's a process involved here, and no, I can't tell you how long that process will be. We anticipate that as we move along, there's a potential for litigation that we'll have, the village is prepared to deal with. But we want to see some movement out there, and this is the start of that process. The neighbors have been putting up with that blight for many, many years now. And it's in the best interest of the village to address that at this point.
The special meeting agenda for last evening listed potential development opportunity at the site. Christensen said that it could tie into the former Olympia Brown school site next door.
Unified did an RFP to seek out developers to at least deal with what's there, raise the building, and potentially develop it. And we have been contacted by a couple people that are actually interested in the Western building. So there's potential for development. That may be the best case scenario is that we get it developed and don't have to do a raise order. But we need, again, to stimulate this process and get things moving.
The Racine School Board had a work session at the same time as the Village Board meeting last night. They talked about the status of the former OB building next to the Western site, but no action was taken. More than three dozen members of congregations United to Serve Humanity gathered in the hallway outside the Kenosha Council Chambers last night, singing hymns, then went inside to demand immediate action for opening up a shelter for the homeless with no other place to stay. Cush spokesman Reverend Justin Lowe suggested the former Shalom Center site be reopened, said that chronic homelessness is on the rise nationwide, and Kenosha is no exception.
All of the local agencies which serve the chronically homeless are operating at and beyond capacity. Yet we know there are at least 15 to 30 people currently sleeping outside who would not choose to sleep outside given another option.
Dante DeLacy is homeless. He urged the alderman to take some action.
If you don't think there's a homeless problem out there, go out to the parks sometimes. Come to the soup kitchens and you'll see it. You'll see it because it's out there. I mean, you know, you can go to the train station, bus stations.
Before the meeting began, Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian said he believes it's the responsibility, though, of the county and the Shalom Center to address the problem. He did acknowledge, though, he has been working on it, says without being specific, he's waiting on some more information, though, in regards to a possible solution. And S.E. Johnson announces the donation of $35,000 toward the Root Bike Watershed Initiative Network in support of that group's restoration projects. One of them undertaken by the group is the restoration of Colonial Park's ravine on the Root River. That project, designed to address stream bank erosion, pollutants from stormwater runoff, and invasive plant species, that project expected to kick off next year. Needed rezoning and a conditional use permit, both approved by the Caledonia Village Board last night for expansion of the Jellystone Park and Campground off Highway 38. It'll add 256 cabins to the current total of 278, and for which some last-minute changes were submitted by the applicants. Attorney Debbie Tomczak, representing the owner, said that the plan adjustments were the result of last week's Plan Commission meeting feedback from the neighbors.
We've also clarified that there is no convention center. The convention center that was a little bit of confusion in the Plan Commission is really a family banquet hall so that we can have camper space for people who want to get together with their family. Might have a bridal shower in there, but this is not a big undertaking. This is just something that will be a convenience to our existing campers and day pass visitors.
Trustee Jay Benkowski, noting the size of the berm for the property, raised concerns about the need for a landscaping plan to be done by an architect using appropriate plantings.
This screening device is huge, and it really needs to be considered. It's just not put up some plants and it's going to happen. It requires a management plan, so I would disagree. I think it needs to have a landscape architect to create a planting plan and to talk about species and what the maintenance is to be, and that should be incorporated into this condition.
Village Attorney Elaine Eke is suggesting clarifying language about only staff being able to use golf carts for their work on a proposed trail.
I think it could actually be its own condition because it's dealing with motorized vehicles on trails. So the trails aren't specifically just in that 100-foot setback area. So I think you could craft a condition that says use of motorized vehicles are allowed for staff and maintenance only on the trails.
Several of the almost two dozen audience members left the meeting as the vote was coming in favor of the rezoning. A few more then got up and left with the last-minute discussion on the conditional use. A little pat on the back and nice job offered up by the Racine Unified School Board last night during its work session, which began with a quick review of the 11-point improvement in the state report card. Board President Bob Witke again wanting to heap praise on the teaching staff and administration for all the hard work.
It really goes to show in our district what we can do when we put our minds to it. And so I wanted to make sure that if I haven't said it enough before, that this was really a stellar job. And as it sinks into how far we've come in a year and where that sends us, I think I don't think you'll find another district in the state that has accomplished that.
Witke also felt that the public needs to know that the changes made to Racine Unified's programs and curriculum are for the students to help them achieve, not just to hike up test scores.
Improving student achievement to give them more opportunities to build a better workforce in this community. And so that's why the investments, even though they are critical to our report card, they are also doubly critical to the success of our kids here in this community. I just wanted to make sure that that's emphasized.
Superintendent Lolly Hawes noting the district was just 3.7 points away from an overall report card listing of meets expectations, said there's a lot of optimism going forward. She added that everything taking place right now in the district is going to be reflected in the report card 1 year from now. A reminder that coming up tonight at 7 o'clock at UW Parkside, the Tim Bell Tribute Concert in the Main Stage Theater, for which a large crowd is expected. Bell, of course, the highly respected, well-loved musician who passed away in October. And Pleasant Prairie's former administrator, Mike Polakoff, has announced he's going to be seeking the trustee position being vacated in the spring by Steve Komorkowicz. Polakoff retired back in May after almost three decades of service. Now he's looking to serve in a different way. Komorkowicz is 81 years old. The spring election nominating process opened up last Friday. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.